Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to another service here at Unity Center of Light, from our home to your home. I'm Reverend Millage Mosby.
And I'm Pam Mosby.
And again, we welcome you to this service, and we want to remind you that if you have not joined us in Zoom, there's a Zoom service right after this. We see the message meditation, and then we go into live Zoom, and you know, you get a chance to interact with others, hear music, and so forth. So if you've not had a chance to join us in Zoom, please do so. But we're going to do Joy, the last part of the Advent, and we'll get started with Pamela.
Thanks. Good morning, and welcome to Unity Center of Light, a spiritual community that nurtures the growth of all who are seeking to develop the potential of their spirit, mind, and body. Please join me as we affirm Unity Center of Light's mission and foundation statements. Let's begin with the mission statement. The mission of Unity Center of Light is to empower individuals to express their indwelling divine potential. We teach there is a power within each of us far greater than anything that exists outside of us. Now let's affirm our foundation statement. There is only one power and one presence active in my life and affairs, God the Good, Omnipotent. Amen. And now we will have the daily word reading for Sunday, 12:20. The key word is joy, and the affirmation is, joy dawns in my grateful heart. Joy to the world, the carol echoes the joyous message proclaiming the Messiah's birth. Today, I feel the same triumphant joy awakening in me. I may have endured a long and cumbersome journey on the way to discover the joy that is alive in me, the truth of me as a spiritual being. I may have spent years denying my spiritual identity, thinking that fulfillment, wholeness, and abundance were for others and not for me. Now, as I have made the Advent journey, I have kindled my faith, felt the tranquility and comfort of peace, and received the soothing touch of deep and abiding love. Those gifts have led me to understand with deep gratitude that joy is mine to know, to feel, and to live. And our scripture reading is Luke 2:10. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people." Amen.
All right. So we're going to read, look at our Advent candle. All right, so these are the four candles, faith, peace, love, and today we're going to do joy. So we've done that, and we're going to now read for you the opening for the Advent. Let me just switch to that. All right, so the fourth candle represents joy and is symbolized by a star. And when we recognize that God's promise of the birth of the Christ has been fulfilled, and that which we seek has already been given to us, we are filled with joy.
The star was the signal to the wise men that the event which had been foretold, that which they were waiting for, was realized. The brilliant light of the Bethlehem star represents our inner illumination, which moves us beyond hope and into faith, when we have that deep inner knowing that the Christ has indeed been born in each of us. That knowing leads to an experience of great inner joy.
All right. So, thank you, hon. Yeah, and you can blow those out for me. Okay. So we are going to, again, we're going to talk about joy. This has been the Spirit of Christmas Advent series, part four, joy. And, you know, this is one of the... all of these talks really have been very challenging, challenging from the perspective of the times that we are experiencing right now. So we're going to see how we can look at joy both practically and metaphysically, or spiritually, I should say, as we move through this process. But I'm going to start out with a little story. And I found this on the internet. There was a boy whose family was very wealthy. Okay, and one day his father took him on a trip to the country where he aimed to show his son how poor people live. So they arrived at the farm that the father considered to be a very poor family, and they spent several days there. And on their return, the father asked the son, did he like the trip? He says, "Oh, it was great, Dad," the boy replied. "Well, did you get a feeling for how poor people live?" "Yeah," the boy said. And so the father asked him, you know, to give him more detail about his impressions of the trip. "Well, we have one dog," the boy said, "and they have four. In our garden, there's a pool, while they have a river that goes on forever. We've got expensive lanterns, but they have stars above their heads at night. We have the patio, but they have the whole horizon. We have only a small piece of land, but they have the endless fields. We buy food, but they can grow it. We have a high fence for protection of our property, but they don't need it because their friends protect them." The father was stunned and could not say a word. Right? And then, you know, he asked the boy, you know, to just say some more. But the boy said to him, "Well, Dad, I want to thank you for letting me see how poor we are." So the story shows that the true wealth, as well as happiness, is not measured by material things. It is love, friendship, freedom that are far more valuable in creating lasting joy. Okay. So, you know, we're going to, like I said, try to understand this concept of joy, again, in these challenging times. That's what makes these lessons interesting to put together, because you look at what is going on in the country and in the world, and, you know, we're talking about joy. So how do we muster up joy in times like these? So to move into this lesson, let me repeat the last line from the opening Advent that Pamela and I read. And it said, the bright light of the Bethlehem star represents our inner illumination, which moves us beyond hope and into faith when we have that deep inner knowing that the Christ has indeed been born in us. That knowing leads to an experience of great inner joy. Okay. So again, that's sort of the metaphysical approach to this process. But at the same time, let me just say, explain what the revealing word says that the star of Bethlehem symbolizes. It has to do with our inner feeling, our inner belief, our inner certainty in knowing that we have within us the faith, peace, love, and joy of the Christ. Okay. Now, it represents the wisdom we accumulate from the experience of living by faith. Again, let me say it again. It represents the wisdom we accumulate from the experience of living by faith. And that's an important part of this, because these spiritual ideas we're working with, it's not just a matter of, you know, learning them, but it's a matter of working with them on a practical, everyday level until we gain the experience of what it is like to live from these spiritual ideas, in this case, living from faith. And when we do that, it inspires us to rejoice, you know, when we get it, that if I continue to live by faith, this is my understanding that starts to evolve inside of me. So we rejoice knowing that we are gaining the capacity to live our lives with joy in spite of outer circumstances. That's the key that we're going to be working with today. So when your inner feeling about your life moves from hope to the certainty of knowing that you will truly understand how to live your life from the perspective of faith, that's when you begin to feel that joy. So as we said in the first Advent lesson, hope often falls prey to fear and doubt. Faith, on the other hand, knows nothing about doubt and knows nothing about fear. The only thing that faith knows is that the Christ is fully present and in charge of my life and affairs, okay? So thus, this, of course, leads to a greater sense of joy, even when it appears that there's nothing to be joyful about. But without faith, we have no lasting joy. That's the key, okay? So faith is that pure dynamic that we really want to begin to understand how to live from that idea, live from that consciousness, and that's what creates lasting joy. So faith is a central ingredient in the spiritual formula that leads to lasting joy. The spiritual formula being, for joy being, faith plus peace plus love equals great joy. And most of the time when we're joyful, it is simply because everything in our life is working. You know, everything we want, we have. Everything we want to happen is happening. You know, life is good. And that's when we typically are very joyful. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's, you know, that's the way we are. Like, I think it was last week's lesson, I talked about a lot about, you know, there's a spiritual process, and then there's the way we are. It's the way we show up in life. And when everything's going great, we're great, okay? But what we're exploring is a different kind of joy. Not joy based on the fact that our material world is going well. We're looking at a different kind of joy, a higher level of joy. A joy that outlasts and outshines the enjoyable material experiences and circumstances in our lives. Because we know when the stuff is working, everything's working, we're good, okay? But when those things start to diminish, it sort of changes our outlook. And we're exploring the joy that still remains when everything else is gone and all you have left is your faith in God and peace and love in your heart, okay? This is the joy that surpasses all understanding. Now, Pamela and I know about that kind of experience personally. You know, if you've heard me tell stories about how we have had times when we didn't have, you know, money for the basic necessities of life, we always joke about how we would. There was a military swimming pool. What was that?
Andrews
Air Force Base, and it was only $2 to get in, and we didn't have the $2. All right, we've had, you know, times when the electricity was turned off in our house. We received foreclosure notices and, you know, had no place to turn except spirit, okay? And I remember out running, doing my typical 8-mile run, which is when we're in Fort Washington, and we were trying to sell the house before it foreclosed. And just as clear as a bell, I heard a voice in my head say, God is my real estate agent. And when I finally got home from that 8-mile run, there was a real estate agent standing at the front door saying, I have a contract on your house. All you got to do, go through the closing and get out. Okay. And that, you know, that was an incredible experience for us. So the idea of turning the spirit to spirit when everything else, you know, goes awry is what we're working at learning how to do. So we have a sense of what, you know, we have a sense, Pamela and I have a sense of what millions of Americans are experiencing right now. You know, we see it on the news all the time about not being able to buy food, businesses closing, all kinds of things, okay? We know what that feels like firsthand. But what we did have during that time was our spiritual training and our spiritual practice to turn to, okay? Now, I say that, and as I just said, that example of me, you know, doing my run, thinking about, you know, the fact that our house was going to foreclose, how were we going to deal with that? And it's clear as a bell in my head, I just heard, but God is my real estate agent, okay? And so that's sort of the thing. That was part of my spiritual training and my spiritual practice, okay? But, you know, not knowing where the next dollar is going to come from, next meal is going to come from. But still, if you find yourself in that situation, it will challenge your spiritual training and all of your spiritual practice. That's what I want to be clear about, okay? It's not a situation where you get it and you've got it and, you know, you've got it for good. Normally what will happen is you got it in that situation, but in another situation, even more challenging will come along. But it's, you know, that's the way life it is. It just keeps us practicing and training to live from spirit, okay? And that's why last week's lesson dealt with doing the necessary work to find your spiritual footing, okay? I don't know how many of you saw or heard that lesson or saw that lesson. You know, you want your spiritual footing so that if your material world comes crumbling down, you will not lose your spiritual footing, okay? And the work we looked in last week's lesson was to contemplate and answer for yourself these unfinished personal statements. So these are statements. I'm just going to read them this time. If you really want to see them and write them down, you can see last week's lesson. But the statements were that you need to finish is, you know, when things happen, I want what I feel to be. Okay, so something happens, you're already presupposing what you know you're going to feel when that happens. Okay, you're going to hold yourself, and your feet planted on spiritual ground. So that's one of them. I want my body to be when things happen. I want the work of my hands to be. In other words, you want the guidance to come to know what to do to work through whatever challenges you're having. I want my environment to be. And then to look at the Advent series, I want my faith to be. Stuff happens when it happens. I want my faith to be. When something happens, I want my peace to be. I want my love to be. I want my joy to be. Okay? And again, the purpose of this exercise is to create a vision in your mind, body, and spirit that can endure any changes in the conditions in your life. Okay? However, the decision to actually live from the faith that will truly, you know, bring you inner joy is usually something you cannot accomplish overnight. That's why I say this has got to be a day-to-day practice. Moving from a consciousness of fear and doubt to a consciousness of faith and peace cannot be accomplished overnight. It is a process that must be cultivated by discipline-focused daily practice. Discipline-focused daily practice. And there are many who are, you know, willing to hear the truth, but too few actually have the courage and perseverance to actually live the truth. And I mean really live it through good times and not so good times. That's the real key here, is are we putting into practice what we're learning? And to really get to a point where you have the spiritual fortitude to keep your feet firmly planted on holy ground requires continuous, daily, focused practice in the trenches of our day-to-day lives. And holy ground, when I say keep your feet planted in holy ground is the divine substance we use to create the life we want to live. Okay? And we've heard that before. Everything in our lives is created out of divine substance. Divine substance fits into the cookie cutter mold in your mind and shapes itself to what your thoughts and feelings are. All right? So that's why you always want to operate from faith, peace, love, and joy. Because that becomes a cookie cutter mold the divine substance moves into and shapes or reshapes your life if something challenging has happened. So our work is to develop the ability to always remain standing in the glory that is God. Okay, as it is written in James 1:12, blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, you will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised. Okay, so it is all about the test. You know, we're constantly being tested. And quite often when we are looking for answers as to how to respond to a challenging dilemma in our lives, what most of us are looking for is a practical answer, right? So stuff happens. Your prayer, your thought is some kind of a practical answer, meaning if you don't have enough money, money is given to you, okay? Whatever it might be, we're always looking for this practical answer, all right? A practical solution that we're looking for really needs to be replaced by a spiritual solution, okay? We're typically looking for practical, but what we really want is spiritual. Practical is good, but it's usually limited in its dimension, okay? Whereas a spiritual solution is much broader. It, you know, the idea of, Lord, this or something greater, well, this or something greater, that prayer, Lord, this or something greater, that's more looking for a spiritual solution. You're not tying yourself down to the finite idea of, you know, I need $100 and you're hoping $100 is going to come to you. This or something better. You're opening yourself up to spiritual possibilities. Okay? So a spiritual solution. And this, you know, this is understandable that we would first think of a practical solution as opposed to a spiritual solution. Because when we are struggling, no matter what the struggle is, we want and need the resources that will fulfill our needs. Okay? And we typically want it as fast as possible. And again, we're just looking at where we are right now. So when we're mentally, emotionally caught up in the clutches of fear, that which is spiritual does not always seem practical, especially if you haven't done the work to become open to the inner guidance of spirit. And that is the main key to victoriously living the spiritual life. That being to be open to the inner guidance of spirit. And that is what Paul said, you know, was referring to in 1 Corinthians 2:14. And you know this verse is when he said, the person without an awareness of spirit does not accept the thoughts that come from spirit. A person who's not aware of spirit does not accept the thoughts that come from spirit. So that's why you always want to be spirit aware. That's the idea of praying always, okay, praying unceasingly. The praying unceasingly it's not necessarily that you're saying or thinking words. It's more that you're holding a consciousness where you're always open to spiritual guidance. But if a person who doesn't do that, when spiritual guidance comes, that it doesn't mean anything to them, okay? It's usually outside of their realm of understanding. But, you know, again, it sounds like foolishness to him. That's what the scripture says. And he cannot understand them because the thoughts of spirit must be spiritually discerned. And spiritual discernment comes from constantly practicing being open to spirit in every situation, okay? So to be without the awareness of spirit is to be without lasting joy. To be without the awareness of spirit is to be without lasting joy. And conversely, to be without lasting joy is to be without the awareness of spirit, okay? So it is to be without the awareness of the indwelling presence of the living Christ, that within you that already knows what you need and is willing to guide you to the answers to your prayers, okay? So you want to stay aware of this divine inner presence that's always there, knowing what you want even before you ask. And that's the real power in that, okay? So when it comes up, it's not like spirit has got to think about what to do. It already knows what to do. It already knows that this was coming. And that idea, those ideas, those divine ideas are right there for you to embrace, okay? And all we have to do to get this divine guidance is just touch the hem of the garment, okay? Touch the hem, the outer aspects of the divine. You don't have to be fully enmeshed in the divine. It would be great to be, and that's, of course, what we're moving towards is how do I become fully engulfed in spirit? But to get these divine ideas, all you have to be able to do is touch the hem of his garment, touch the hem to be inspired and comforted by spiritual guidance, okay? So our quest this Advent season is to willingly begin the disciplined process of practicing living from the truth, okay? And as we read in 2 Timothy 1:7, for the Spirit God gives us does not make us timid. Let me say that again. This is 2 Timothy 1:7. For the Spirit God gives us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. So it is our work to come to know this Spirit within that gives us power, love, and self-discipline. Okay? Now, as we acknowledge in our mission statement, we say this every week, there is a power within each of us that is far greater than anything that exists outside of us. So that's the power we're talking about. There is a power within me that is far greater than anything that exists outside of me. That's an affirmation you can use when you feel yourself challenged, okay? When you feel yourself almost feeling powerless because your world is changing so that you feel you don't have the power to hold it, you know? And a lot of times when our world is changing, it's changing for a reason, and we need to be able to let it go and be open to the next door open, right? As one door closes, another one's getting ready to open. Right, so that's the key to this process of understanding there's a power within you, a power within me that's far greater than anything that exists outside of us. And this is what we want to know with all of our heart, mind, soul, and spirit. And I mean really know it. You have to know it in the face of any adversity. Because we can know stuff when everything's going well, right? But when the stuff hits the fan, you know, can we still know, you know, that power within us is far greater than whatever is happening out here, okay? So living from truth is holding that perfect idea of faith, peace, love, and joy in your mind and in your heart in the face of life's challenging events and circumstances. And again, I know this is not easy, but that's the process, all right? And we have to understand, since thoughts held in mind produce after their own kind, by holding these divine ideas in thought, you will perfect these Christ ideas in your body, mind, life, and affairs, okay? So practice focusing on living by truth long enough, and eventually truth becomes your first thought when your faith, peace, love, and joy is being threatened, okay? The affirmation, you heard me say it before, this is one of my favorite affirmations I say a lot. God is first in my life. God is first in my life. It is revealing to me the orderly process of my life. God is first in my life. It is revealing to me the orderly process of my life. So joy comes from knowing the truth, okay? Now, you can live your life joyfully when you consciously decide to practice living truthfully. Again, I say practice because living from truth is a forever evolving process, okay? It's forever evolving because we will hear the truth and we might even accept it, okay? But again, that's just intellectual. We have to allow it to evolve within us, and it evolves from putting it into practice, okay? So that's the key. It's hearing the truth, but putting it into practice. So you practice living by truth day by day, moment by moment, event by event, until it becomes your new way of being, okay? Because we have a way of being right now. This is the way we show up. So I'm not saying the way we show up is not good, is that we're looking for a higher good, okay? A good that's greater than the good that we perceive to be good, a higher good, a good that moves through us and guides us in ways that we could not have thought of on our own, okay? So life presents us with a never-ending stream of opportunities to practice living by truth. I think you'll agree with that, right? And it's through this practice that you develop a new self that lives in the conscious awareness of the constant works of Christ in your life, okay? So that's what you want to do. You're looking to develop a new self that lives in the conscious awareness of the constant works of Christ in your life. So as Paul expressed it in his letter to the Ephesians in 4:22, he says, in Christ, you were taught to put away your former way of life, your old self, and to be renewed in the spirit of your mind and to clothe yourself with the new self, created according to the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Okay, so that's what we're looking to do. Now, you notice, you know, the Christian basics are always in there, meaning, you know, repent, be born again. And that's what that whole new self is all about. And we go through that, you know, constantly. But we're looking now to move into a space where we're moving above intellectual change to spiritual change, okay? And an important spiritual fact to realize is when you are doing what you're supposed to be doing for the glory of God, you can rest assured that God is doing for you what God is supposed to be doing to glorify you, all right? Or another way of saying this is if you're working with and living by truth, God is working with and living the truth through you, okay? Now, but likewise, if you're not working with and living by truth, you are working against the works of God who is striving to work through you. And there can be no joy in that, okay? So we can certainly get a temporary rush of joy from things in the outer world, you know, right? But we're not working with, if we're not working with spirit, that rush can soon diminish, leaving you in a state of frustration, confusion, and fear. And I think, you know, we have all experienced that joy gained from outer material things diminish as material thing diminishes. So the $64,000 question is, how do we evolve from being material bound to becoming spirit bound? Okay. Now, spirit bound meaning connecting ourselves to the true source of our supply. Well, as explained in Psalm 51:6, we have to start from scratch, okay? It says, create in me a clean heart, all right? That's starting from scratch, all right? Create in me a clean heart, oh God, and put a new and right spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and sustain in me a willing spirit. And there it is. A willing spirit, okay? That's what we're working towards. And the idea behind this study is understanding that the joy of being connected to your inner Christ must become more joyful than anything else you have experienced. Okay? Fear and worry about losing something in our material lives must be subordinated to the joy of gaining something in our spiritual lives. And this is not to diminish the importance of the material stuff that makes us joyful at all. Rather, it is our spiritual quest to connect with the joy within us that is everlasting. Okay? And as is written in Galatians 5:22-23, the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in your life. That fruit being love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Okay? So as true students, our quest is to come to know that the brilliant light of the Bethlehem star is always shining within us, leading us to our joy. But it's not until we clear away the cloud of fear and worry that we're able to experience the Christ light shining within us, okay? So the great reward of the practice of living by specific spiritual principles is that it raises your consciousness to the level of those principles. Okay, let me say that again. The joy of the idea of living by practicing specific principles raises our consciousness to the level of those principles. Because sometimes you'll say, well, I'm working with it. And I don't know if you ever have an affirmation that you use. Sometimes you get ready to say the affirmation in your head or whatever, and you can't remember it, okay? But the key is we keep working with these ideas, these affirmations, these spiritual concepts, and what happens, it raises our consciousness to the level of those principles. And then you begin to experience the joy that comes from knowing that the good that you seek will come. And it'll come from, but it comes again from discipline, focused, daily spiritual practice, okay? Practicing a spiritual principle is equivalent to worshiping that principle. Let me say that again. Practicing a spiritual principle is equivalent to worshiping that principle. There was an article in Science of Mind magazine that said, when you worship, you are magnified by the image you worship, okay? So worship is a feeling state that lifts your vibration to the frequency of that which you are worshiping. So when we worship, you know, the inner Christ through the daily practice of living by specific spiritual principles, this practice raises the vibrational rate of our consciousness to the level of those principles, okay? So now what is happening is you're not struggling to understand how to live by the principles. You now are at the level of the principle, okay? And suddenly we know by, you know, joy from a different perspective. We receive the clarity to know that we are being divinely guided to make the right path to take the right path, okay? And to make the right decisions in determining our spiritual destiny. Okay? So, like the wise men, we need to follow the brilliant light of the Bethlehem star that's leading us to the Christ idea born within us. And as we get closer, again, that's what we're talking about with this practice, this daily focused specific practice, as we get closer, we'll experience an inner illumination which will move us beyond hope to a deeper understanding and inner knowing that the Christ has indeed been born in us. Okay? And that knowing leads to an experience of great joy. And finally, okay, during this holiday season, during this holy season, let us remember that we are each unique expressions of the divine and that the Christ exists within each of us. The Christ exists within each of us. So that means even as you're looking out to others, you also want to be able to behold the Christ in them. And let us always seek to behold the Christ in ourselves and each other. Remember that the greatest gifts we can give cannot be bought or wrapped. They are the gifts of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and wisdom. Let us pray that every person will be rich in these gifts and surrounded by great joy. And so it is. All right. Amen. And now we will have meditation with Pamela.
So now let us find that comfortable space and Let's center ourselves in this moment as we allow ourselves to experience the stillness of God. Today I will share with you a beautiful poem called Prayer for Joy, and then we will proceed with our hearts open to be filled with Spirit during our meditation. Abba, Father, as long as I am on this earth, I know adversities will come my way, but I ask that you help me to rest in you. I know that you are in control. Help me to have that joy and peace in my life so I will be able to smile through any storm, confident that I will come out stronger for it. Help me not to look at my adversities, but to look directly to you for a blessed life. Help me not to look at my adversities, but to look directly to you for a blessed life. And now take a really deep, deep breath in and exhale fully. And in this moment, let go. Let go of your to-do list. Let go of the demands of the season. Set them aside and just relax in the peace of this moment. Simply breathe into the stillness. Joy is your natural state of being, yet many of us need to be reminded to stop, to celebrate and feel joy. In this time of meditation, we remember joy. Joy isn't dependent on external circumstances. It is an inner state of being. It arises from a relaxed mind and an open heart. Feel joy enfolding you, surrounding you, encompassing your entire being. Surrounding yourself, you bless others and you bless the world. Your life is an eternal celebration of joy. And why wouldn't it be? You are a child of God and only good can come to you. And now as you contemplate the joy in your life, let us make that journey to the secret place of the Most High. As you reach the threshold to the door, remember to release all that's not serving you and enter into the room. Take your seat at the feet of the Master and allow all your fears and doubts to be erased, as you are about to be filled to overflowing with the gifts of Spirit. And now use this time in the silence to pray, receive answers to your prayers, and to be still. We thank you, gracious Spirit, for answered prayers this morning. As we bring this time of meditation and reflection to a close, take another easy breath in and release it gently. Return to your day refreshed and renewed and full of the deep joy of the Holy Spirit. In the name and nature of our elder brother and wayshower, Jesus Christ, we say, Amen, and so it is.
This is the time when we open our hearts and allow some of the treasure to flow into our personal lives, to flow into our spiritual home. And we will say our prosperity prayer together. Oops.
Offering blessing.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
We bless and give thanks for these tithes and offerings as they go forth to continue the healing, loving work being done through the Unity Center of Light.
Amen. All right. And again, thank you so much for all of the wonderful donations you've been sending. And Pamela now is going to do
light notes. Light notes for Sunday, December the 20th. We look forward with you with joyful hearts to our Christmas Eve candle lighting service at 7 p.m. on December 24th. We ask that you bring a real or an LED candle and have it close by during the service. Please allow this sacred experience to take you away from the hustle and bustle of the holiday season and carry you to an experience of peace and love. Our very special guest musician will be Megan McDonough. As we prepare to enter into the new year of 2021, we affirm only the good as we release and let go of 2020. As times have changed due to the pandemic, we will be performing this ritual in our individual homes. We ask that you have available a thin sheet of paper, a lighter, a deep metal pan to burn the paper, and a pen. As safety is our top priority, you have some choices of how you may proceed. One suggestion is, after writing the thoughts you want to release, crumple up your paper and burn it after the service, or if you prefer, during the service. When you write your notes to release, allow the thoughts to come to you slowly, not trying to force them or make them up. You may want to start with something like, "I am free from." You'll be given more directions during the service. The Course in Miracles group is now on a break, and we look forward to having you rejoin us on January the 5th, 2021.
Okay. Just wanted to take a moment to share with the our prayer chaplains in our prayer committee for all the wonderful work you've been doing during this time to reach out to people. And you've been reaching out by email, by mail, phone, calling, and just to help keep people's spirits up during this time. And so for our chaplains in our prayer committee, we send out, a wonderful blessing of thank you to all of you for all you've been doing. I know that we've been hearing folks saying how blessed they felt to get a call or get an email or get something in the mail. And, these two groups have worked very hard to keep the spirits up during these very challenging times. So again, our hearts go out to you. We say thank you so much for all that you've been doing. All right. All right. And now we're going to
bless the path that we walk this week.
Yeah, go ahead, sweetie.
We're going to say this affirmation with passion, zeal, and gusto. Together,
right.
I go forward in the spirit of the Lord, knowing my way is made easy, joyous, healthy, and prosperous. And I am grateful.
All right. And let's do our prayer for protection.
Together. The light of God surrounds us. The love of God enfolds us. The power of God protects us. The presence of God watches over us. Wherever we are, God is. And all is well. And that's the truth.
All right. Okay, so again, it has been our pleasure to bring you this service. Let's emphasize again that if you have not ever joined us by Zoom, please do so. You can find a Zoom link either in the e-newsletter that's sent out by April or the weekly update that comes out from Patty. Just find either one of those in your email, click on the link, and it'll take you straight to it. So we look forward to seeing you in Zoom. Otherwise, have a wonderful week.
See you in a few.
Okay, bye-bye.